everybody to Pop Culture. I am Scott.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Monica.
And welcome to a sad occasion.
Yes.
Funeral-esque, one might say. Now, look, before we get started, everybody, we're just here doing a podcast. We don't want to upset you. We don't want to make you feel bad about yourselves. We don't need your hate mail. But if you feel so inclined, please send it, because go fuck yourself.
Send it to me. I'm petty.
Yes, there was a time when the Marvel Cinematic Universe was the bee's knees of blockbuster cinema. However, that time has passed. Marvel is in the middle of a death rattle leading to some emergency time in the ICU, followed by a very sad goodbye when we turn off the machine. Let's be real. Marvel is fading. This is the death of Marvel.
Yes. I had a question for you. How do we actually structure a podcast like this?
Oh, okay, cool. Right, so we'll start it right. Really strong.
Yeah.
Couple of hits. Bring in Don Cheadle. Everyone will love it. And then we just keep going when we should have stopped. Like way longer than we should have. Okay. With no real direction or merit or aim.
Awesome.
We'll branch out into TV as well and animation. I mean, why not? And we'll just oversaturate the market to a point where not only are our films failing at the box office, but almost every film made by our studio and by competitors is also failing at the box office. Oh, that's a good plan. Let's do that.
All right, let's try it. We'll see how many podcasts we can kill. Yeah.
Because I think this is part of a bigger problem in Hollywood cinema. But Marvel is an excellent example of the problem because we've got a really nice map of where it all went kind of tits up.
Yeah, I have to say from the beginning, I was never really a Marvel person or a DC person.
I think
person.
If you've been listening to our show for a long time, you realise that Jason's never really been a Marvel or a DC person. Yeah,
and I was actually more of a 2000 AD kid, if you want, for the comics. So,
to be fair, though, never been a really bad Judge Dredd movie.
I am the law. So for me, Marvel was one of those things that really I was and DC, I was introduced to via film television. So I had to look into this a lot. And I was looking at the sort of movement from comics to film, television and so on. And I came across Superman the movie as one of the biggest ones that really set the tone, if you want, for what to expect. And what had happened there, and I've got a point to all of this. I know it's DC, so all those Marvel people just...
He's talking about Superman.
Yeah, I do know what I'm talking about here.
Calm down, everyone.
Yeah.
Put down the machete.
Superman the movie was being made, and the only comparable superhero thing was the Batman series in the 60s. And so Richard Donner was really trying as hard as possible not to fall into that trap. And he had apparently up everywhere this word, and it was... verisimilitude, if you've heard of that. And yes, it's seeming true or having the appearance of being real. And that was the goal for everyone in the film. So Mario Puzo was there to write the script. He had Marlon Brando. He had Gene Hackman. He had all these really major actors.
John Williams.
Yeah, John Williams doing the score. And then selected probably the best Superman still, Christopher Reeve. And it had that throughout the whole thing. And it was that idea that there was this humanity to the superhero. There was something that we understood that kept Superman above what you'd normally see.
You will believe a man can fly.
Yeah. And then it moved on, and it wasn't until probably Tim Burton did the Batman films that we sort of...
I'm Batman.
Yeah. We re-saw superhero films arise, and then Sam Raimi doing Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Singer's X-Men as well, around the same time.
Yeah, yep. And Singer's X-Men. That was the point at which I think people did show that they really were keen to watch these sorts of films, and they were obviously being true to their sources and being treated with that respect at the time, and that's sort of where I'd say is the best place to start. And then we lead to Marvel, and you can start jumping in here on this one in terms of how it works. But from what I understood, they were going under, so they were just selling their...
Marvel was selling rights to their comics like crazy because no one was reading comics in the 90s. It's the 90s comics crash, as it's affectionately known as. And then, the sort of all the big characters, because Spider-Man, arguably Marvel's biggest horse in the stable, was with Sony. The X-Men was with Fox. The Fantastic Four was with Fox. I think Blade was over with New Line, although Blade was never really a huge comic, but those movies are just fantastic. So Marvel didn't have a great deal of, like, Hulk was with Universal. They lost so many selling these big characters to try and keep the ship afloat. So they were like, Iron Man, I guess. and we'll have to treat it a certain way. So Kevin Feige, who produced a lot of these Marvel movies with different studios to varying degree, because Avi Arad is very much responsible for the Spider-Man stuff, took the reins, and Jon Favreau on board. They partnered up with Universal to have a Hulk movie drop the next year and have a little dollop of Robert Downey Jr. at the end there, and started putting together the Avengers. So we got, yeah, Iron Man, Hulk. Iron Man did really well. Hulk did less well, but they think putting him in the trailer got that movie over the line. And then, yeah, they Iron Man 2, Captain America, Thor, other way around, Thor, Captain America, and then Avengers just blew the roof off. And then, yeah, now it's in concrete, right? So now we've got this huge machine that has to be fed and won't stop moving. And I think changed the way studios thought. Suddenly everything needed a shared universe to varying degrees of success. Still waiting on the sequel to The Mummy there, Universal. So, yeah, and you know, DC, Warner Brothers tried to take up the mantle as well, and less successfully, one might say disastrously. yeah, and it created this, I guess, joint franchises. Is that Marvel movie? You could watch Captain America, Captain America 2, Captain America 3, and his appearances in the Avengers and get the Captain America story like you're reading a comic book, or you can go watch the Iron Man ones or the Thor ones. You've got these separate franchises that are all a part of one franchise. And then they finished the plan and just kind of kept going.
See, for me, even that plan became awkward to watch, particularly when I was watching the last two Avenger films.
So Infinity War, Endgame.
Yep, Infinity War and Endgame, because there was so much sort of suggested from other films that I hadn't actually seen at that point.
Yeah.
And I think that also was starting to emerge, that they were relying on everyone to absorb absolutely everything. And we're talking about a world here where people are now doing sound bites on news and social media, TikTok, very small samples of things. You now need the entire Marvel Universe history to understand an episode in a particular series. And yeah, that's the point at which, for me, it started losing me. And I sort of went, well, I don't want to have to watch all these things to enjoy this and understand it.
I think there's something to be said about with that and creating this almost conveyor belt-like storytelling that goes on and on. You're going to get diminishing returns as time goes on because you have the same story being told over again. Your characters might not be as charismatic in one hero next, you know, to the next, and your villains are really, really lackluster.
But you're also speeding up the machine.
You're like, also, yeah, you're, yeah.
Well, we've got three movies a year, and that's not enough. Like,
yeah, I'm in preparation for this. I read this really good Variety article, which is Marvel in Trouble. And I think this quote's probably the best way to encapsulate it. The ensuing tsunami of spandex proved to be too much of a good thing, which 100% I agree. And the demands of churning out so much programming tax the Marvel apparatus. Moreover, the need to tease out an interwoven storyline over so many disparate shows, movies and platforms created a muddled narrative that baffled viewers. To me, that sort of reads that the MCU is like Icarus and they flew way too close to the sun.
They flew into the sun.
They flew into the sun, and then the sun exploded in this crap CGI fest, and then suddenly a gauntlet appears out of nowhere and someone's riding a Valkyrie. But that Valkyrie was from like three films ago, which you had to have watched and used to be a villain. And it goes on. And where does it stop?
Yeah.
And I also think that you pointed out the villains and the heroes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Have become less interesting and less sympathetic to an audience. It's here's a mini review, if you want, of the Marvels. And
yay!
The one I'm not going to see at the cinema.
Same.
Yes, I've got a 13-year-old daughter, and that's why I ended
up. But just so we're clear, everybody, not because I hate anybody or anything like that, Godzilla's out next week and money's tight.
He's got his priorities. Yeah. But what I discovered there was the whole concept of that main character was being sidelined to concepts and the multiverse and trying to weave things together for other franchises, if you want to call it that, or other storylines or other characters, so much so that there wasn't really any character whatsoever that was in the forefront of the film. And it's not really a judgment on any actors in it or anything like that. Like, I'd say Miss Marvel stands out because it's understandable to have a young kid really excited about everything, being part of that universe and meeting all her heroes. That made sense. The rest of it was boring, absolutely boring. And it is probably the most boring superhero film I've watched.
Not to simplify that down, but from what I've seen in the trailers, the women are fighting for a bangle.
Yes.
Okay.
For a bangle.
For a bangle.
I haven't watched the trailers.
And
there were cats and I was like, I'm good. Yeah,
there was lots of cats. Lots of cats.
Because it did well the first time. We need to put more in.
More cats.
More cats. No, not those cats. Get back in your cage, Judi Dench. No.
But, yeah, it showed exactly what the problem is, in that we've now got so many things being thrown up in the air and it's juggling so many things that you're losing the essence of a good film or good story. And not having those good stories contained within the film itself,
yeah,
you're going to lose people. They're not going to be interested, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, I would largely agree. I think when you have a look at the franchise overall as well, now that we're in this next phase, you have these independent stories which need to focus on these characters, but when you come back and bring them together, who's actually the central character that brings them all together? Iron Man's gone, and he was clearly the touchstone for the entire...
Iron Man and Cap.
Iron Man and Cap, and there's no one really running that ship anymore to help weave these stories
even
together.
Even Nick Fury's part in bringing everyone together is almost non-existent now and kind of watered down. And
yeah, and you also have characters like Captain Marvel, who seems to be... She has too much power to be able to have any kind of crisis really be a crisis. And what do you do with that? And if you're not going to bother telling her story, then people are not going to be interested in what she's like. And that's not fair.
Mm. Yeah, the interesting, just to go back on the Marvels, not that you've seen it, but the interesting part of it is that they omitted what would have been the most character-driven aspect to the film by just having it as a backstory, as exposition for... Mm. Why things were occurring. And if you'd actually had that as the film, I think it would have been really interesting.
Mm.
So she's become what's called the Annihilator of the, I think it's the Kree planet?
Yep.
Yeah, so she went back, destroyed the AI, but then that caused all sorts of problems on the planet, which then they went into civil war and started destroying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so they blame her for that.
Gotcha.
And that in itself would have been more of an interesting arc for her to go, oh, I'm the bad guy. And that sort of would have been the better story.
But that's because it's like, oh, we need her to a certain place by the time we get to the next Avengers movie, which is, oh, geez.
well,
we can't fit in Captain
Marvel.
We've
only got two more films to fit things in. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, you're right. They wash over some really interesting parts to get to what they need.
Yes.
Which is why I think Iron Man 2 is the first victim of that. It's so jam-packed with weird stuff that's like, and Black Widow's going to come into it, and at some point they're going to find Captain America's shield, but don't worry about it, and then Fury's going to say, like, oh, the Avengers initiative's coming up, and we need to get Tony Stark's heart fixed because he's got to, you know, do the big thing in the Avengers movie. It's just like, okay, but that's why Iron Man 2 has no plot. Mickey Rourke's angry and wants his bird back. Oh, all right, motivation, cool. It's... And I think it's the problem has gotten worse since Endgame, because I'd argue before that, I think most of it's pretty good.
Yeah, look, even Endgame, I still found it watchable. I just got frustrated with little bits of it because I sort of went, I hadn't seen how this led here.
Yep.
But after that, other than Guardians of the Galaxy, I really haven't found
it. Spider-Man's pretty good.
Yeah, Spider-Man's good, but Spider-Man sort of sits outside it. Yeah, it's not, yeah. It's not really, it's really interrelated good with it.
Did you see Sam Raimi's movie?
Yeah. but it does sit outside this whole thread. He's sort of been cast aside because he's too young to be part of it, almost.
What happens to him doesn't really seem to have any impact on the Marvel universe.
That's right.
Yeah. Except for there's a multiverse problem happening.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing at all, and that probably makes audiences want to see more Spider-Man movies because it's pretty much self-contained.
Mm.
You know, how many times do we have to have a world-ending kind of thing to happen, and then why don't you just call your Avenger friends in a throwaway line? Oh, because they're not contractually obligated to appear.
did anyone watch Secret Invasion? Which might be the low point.
I started it, but I couldn't get through it.
Oh, literally a point where someone's like, why don't you call the Avengers? Like, nah, this is personal. I'm like, oh, Nick. I gotta do this myself. I'm like, oh no.
I can't remember if I saw that bit. It was very forgettable.
It's near the end where he finally gets his coat and eye patch back on.
No, I didn't see that.
Because he couldn't fight bad guys without it. It's just Nick. It's the whole show is Samuel Jackson like, oh, he's getting old shit. Like, walking around like he's got back pain. Emilia Clarke does nothing. It's terrible. It's really bad. But yeah, it's the thing. Oh yeah, you gotta go watch that. Don't forget to watch that 10-episode show that you care so much about to understand what's going on in the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, I just feel that the more and more you do that, you just get diminishing returns as a viewer. It's just, what's the point?
You're spreading it way too thin.
And interestingly, they're also spreading the special effects way too thin.
Well, yeah, they've created another industry-wide problem in that there are literally studios being like just outsourcing scenes to anyone who can do it because there is too much stuff needing to be done and not enough time to do it.
Mm.
And Warner Brothers has suffered dramatically because of what happened with The Flash. Did anyone see The Flash?
You're talking about the film?
Yeah.
The end sequence. Yeah, but that end sequence.
Oh, boy.
Boy, was that the opposite of a cherry on top.
I was like, the stained glass monster in young Sherlock Holmes looked better than this. But we're also seeing franchises tank, right?
Mm.
And Indiana Jones is probably the big one that comes to mind, made like no money.
Mm.
So is it just a Marvel problem?
Probably not.
No.
Flash made no money. What else bombed this year?
Well, it's not even coming out just yet, but isn't there going to be another Aquaman movie? And they've already done a full recast with bringing James Gunn to revitalize everything. So it makes that film almost entirely redundant.
No, Aquaman's in a weird spot because apparently it's nowhere near as bad. Like, the problems are nowhere near as bad as it's being inflated to be. After this it doesn't matter because James Gunn's rebooting the whole DC thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a snake eating itself.
Yeah. It'll just, it's part of the old thing. It doesn't really count. It's like, oh, cool, that means I'm really excited to watch it.
I guess it also comes back to the larger part. I think it was earlier this week, there was some news story saying that Kevin Feige is wanting to bring back the old school Avengers to sort of like reboot everything and have everything new and refresh. And that sort of makes me bring to mind other franchises, like the Harry Potter franchise. They want to reboot that already. We've just finished it not too long ago. Where is everyone's imagination?
When was that? Like 10 years maybe? Anyway.
But it's still so prominent in pop culture. Mm. Like, there's no need to reboot something like that. Tell different stories.
No.
No, but that's... I want to come back to what you said about is it Marvel or industry-wide? I don't think it's either. It's coming back to that essence of the story because Guardians of the Galaxy 3, if it was the industry problem, it wouldn't have been very good. But it's really good.
The movie, you mean? I'm thinking about Returns, though, because I thought Indiana Jones was really good, but no one else saw
but, it. But didn't Guardians still do well?
It made about 800 mil. Well, that's great.
So... It's
800 million, whatever.
Yeah, spare change in the drawer. That's all right. It still did well, which probably showed that people knew that they were getting something that would satisfy them going to see it. And there was still all of that lead up to it that still sang true to people in terms of the stories and the characters, and they wanted to see more. And I think that's it. It's whether they want to see more. Do they want to see more Indiana Jones? No, they don't want to see Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones in a nursing home sort of thing.
My back.
That wasn't the whip that cracked, that's right. But people don't want to really see that in the end. I mean, yes, granted, the film wasn't bad. I agree, Indiana Jones wasn't bad. But do we really need these things?
Well, no.
And that's it. And I think what it's doing as well is it's stifling original stories and what could be out there and sort of, you know, exciting people again.
Mm. But I feel like it's, well, like innovation's gone too. I don't remember the last time I watched a film and was like, how'd they do that? That was amazing. Mm. Indiana Jones cost $350 million to make. It's the most expensive film ever made, the new one.
Yep.
And how much money do you have to make to even make money? Like, surprise, a lot more than people wanted to pay for it. Mm. Avatar made a lot, $2 billion, I think, the new Avatar. Yeah. So obviously there was still some excitement there for that. A lot, really, $2 billion.
Yeah, you look at the gap between the times, though, and...
Well, yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, so it still seems refreshing and new in that sense.
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe if after Endgame, 5 years of silence would have been really good.
Mm.
Come back swinging, planned it out. But no. Within 6 months, there was something after Endgame. And then we had WandaVision and Loki, the TV show, and Falcon and Captain America, whatever it's called. Falcon and Winter Soldier. Sorry, I spoiled the end of it for you. What was the other show? Moon Knight?
Oh, that's right.
Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Hmm. I think maybe with taking that break, I feel that a lot of, I guess, executive producers or whoever makes these movies would think that people have such a short-term memory and that will just get lost in the ether and no one will care about it in 5 years' time, which is a fair, I guess, concern when it comes to these sorts of things.
Mm.
But maybe having that time away would actually do a really good service to the film. Like, I haven't seen the new Avatar film, but apparently it's, you know, gone gangbusters.
It's pretty good.
I don't want to see Pocahontas with blue people part 2.
It's pretty good.
It's different now.
But you also have different draws with that with James Cameron, who is a very different kind of filmmaker, where you have in the MCU, you have multiple different directors at the helm and stuff like that. So that also creates disjointed storytellings within the franchises too.
Mm.
Fair enough. Because
you've got one person who's in charge of everything and is overseeing everything with a vice-like death grip of James Cameron.
Oh, look, I think that might have potentially been the plan with Joss Whedon, but then everything went kind of pear-shaped, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he got out 2 Avengers films and then kind of everything fell apart.
Yes.
maybe, well, I don't know. Apparently Kevin Feige is the guy who's in charge of all this stuff. Like,
there's no ifs, ands,
or buts. He's the guy who's responsible for every creative decision that goes through Marvel, the way Kathleen Kennedy is responsible for the Star Wars stuff at the moment. Although it does feel like she's like, what do you think? What do you think, Dave? John? Which may be the way to go. Maybe it's time for a fresh vision.
Mm.
That's not such a bad thing. The other things, the elephant in the room as well, that I guess that's plaguing what is happening with Marvel now, is the Jonathan Majors situation where... Well, they've got this big villain they're building up for that they've been oversaturating every property with to be like, he's the new Thanos. And then it's like, oh, but don't worry about him anymore. It was a mistake. Sorry.
Yeah, aside from the reasons for that, I have to say that...
You never found him particularly convincing.
Villain, like, he was the least impressive villain I'd seen in a long time until I saw the Marvels, which is even worse. Oh.
But like, he's in the Marvels?
No, he's not.
No, I think he's talking about...
I understand. I'm with you now.
Yeah. I was just like, in the Marvels, the villain is absolutely almost non-existent. It's just a mechanism.
As in, just like, it was like, oh, we can't get Lee Pace back to play Ronan the Accuser. We'll just have someone else.
Yeah.
So, like, blank the Accuser.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And blank is the performance.
Yeah,
so,
right, you are.
But, yeah, I don't understand that villain in terms of how it's threatening, or it doesn't give me any tension seeing him. It just seems almost comic, to be honest.
And well, the appearances thus far have been like Ant-Man was as close as we got to like scary Kang the Conqueror, but the movie was just a bit of a mess.
Mm. So I'd say the character itself was destroyed before any actor destroyed it for them.
You can't put all that blame on an actor.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it all just feels strange.
Mm. But, it's also a general Hollywood issue.
Yeah.
So many reboots, so many sequels, going on. Scream 7 is probably going to come out from...
I think they're working on it now. So
It's
Nev, what's her name? Nev Campbell's back.
Oh, yay. She is. I'm surprised at that. Yeah.
But I liked Scream 5 and 6 though.
I didn't mind them. It doesn't mean that they can't exist. It's just that we're getting saturated with so many of these things that are pushing out the possibility of original ideas being in cinemas. So if you have a sequel to Scream, a Marvel film, a DC film, a Star Wars film if you want, there's not much room in the cinema left.
Yeah. Well, the amount of screens they're contractually obligated to put those films in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's also something to be said about enduring franchises as well that do well. Like, say what you will, and I've not seen them, but there's a reason that the Fast and the Furious franchise is still going.
Except for the new one didn't make quite the drop in the purse they were hoping for.
Yeah, so maybe Kevin Feige needs to have a chat with Vin Diesel or something, I don't know.
We need more Groot.
More Groot.
Yeah, I feel like, superhero fatigue is part of it because Guardians was the only superhero movie to make a profit this year. Mm. Shazam 2, Blue Beetle. What else came out? Marvels.
Yeah.
Like, just superhero movies.
Mm. Yeah, in 1 year.
Yeah.
And that shows it.
Loki was this year. Secret Invasion was this year. I stopped counting because I didn't want to go to my other hand. But that's a lot of, like, one genre of film when, like, really great stuff's getting pushed and, you know.
That's right. Yeah. And I think you also have superheroes appearing in a different guise. And we were talking about John Wick as an example. So when you get things like John Wick and Reacher and all of those heroes, but they get to the point of being superheroes, bulletproof and
unstoppable,
and it, because it's a whole new angle on it, people are flocking to that because it's still appealing to them in that superhero sense, but is appearing a lot more original and not as old.
Mm.
Yeah, and you also have one-offs that just handle material a lot more effectively than the Marvel machine has. And to me, something like Let's Compare Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won Best Picture last year, to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse. This year. I have no idea what day it is today.
What time?
What year is this?
Where are we?
But, you know.
The movie was last year. You're fine. You're good.
Yeah, the movie was.
The movie was last year, but I won Best Picture this year.
I understand. Yeah, all good. So we've got... we have that film, which is spectacular and deals with
a superhero movie too. She goes above and beyond in her action capabilities too.
It absolutely is. And then you have Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and you have two multiverse movies. And if I'm going to tip the scale to one, I'm going to give it to Everything Everywhere All at Once because it knows what it's doing. It's not in
competition.
This,
can I just say that scale just flicked the other film?
Yeah, there's no
way over the ocean. Yeah.
It really did. But that's also a testament to the weakness of, I guess, the MCU universe with not understanding what to do with the story that they're trying to establish. Where Everything Everywhere All at Once knew exactly what it was trying to do.
But yeah, it's a contained story though. It's like I'm not sitting like, geez, I can't wait for Everything All Everywhere All at Once. There's nothing wrong with telling a good story that doesn't need to be more good stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that, but also a question of budgeting and stuff like that. Not that I really want to go down this rabbit hole, but whatever. You've got a movie made by a small studio by two directors where there's so much clever filmmaking and incredible editing to get this amazing story across. It's not relying on visual effects. You've got amazing performances by a cast that is just like the dream team. won 3 Oscars for acting in a sci-fi action movie, in quotes. Sorry, you can't see me. and is made for not a lot of money when you've got Marvel spending $300 million on a simple movie. It's not even an Avengers movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
And expecting somehow with marketing billion to make return, that money.
Yeah.
And when people are like, whereas you've got a movie made for like 60 mil that is an Oscar winner now. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I'll check it out. Well, that was so weird.
But worth it.
Yeah, brilliant. How good was that movie? Let's talk about that for a sec.
Like, we can go watch it after.
Jamie Lee Curtis, that's great.
Yeah, no, just, that's how you do a multiverse, yep. That's for sure.
Yep. Sorry, Marvel, got distracted. It's like going to the eulogy and talking about your friend who died last year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the one that you preferred.
Yeah, yeah. I wish they were here right now. The jokes they would make. Yeah. Big fan of butt plug humour, they're really good quality. Come on, Marvel, if Benedict Cumberbatch isn't stuffing something up his butt in the next Avengers movie... You're done. What are we talking about?
I think we've gone too far.
Yeah,
just
like but it's funnier than Marvel. As a comic book fan since I was a kid, I've loved comic books and I've loved these characters, and it's reached a point where I've like stopped watching and stopped caring. That's bad. Because I am your target audience. I'm the guy who's got statues of friggin' Superman, Spider-Man, and Mary Jane in my bloody office. Like, and you're not even getting my attention now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even for a casual viewer, like, I would put myself in that bucket. Like, I did not care after Infinity War, and I didn't think it was all that great. Sorry, everyone. and I'm just not interested in seeing any of those other stories. Did I watch Loki Season 2? No. I've got Letterkenny to watch. You know? Priorities.
Yeah, I mean, I have to grant all of these studios for actually capturing my attention in the first place, not being into the comics and things, but it was captured because I do love fantasy as such, you know, the whole idea that you can dream these concepts and bring them to film and carry a story that way where you leave reality, so to speak. But they've gone to the point where I'm not interested whatsoever.
And they're also not good.
And they're not good. They're not good. They're too factory created, if you want. It's like mass production.
Paint by numbers. We've got to have this character and this character and representation. And yeah, good enough. We don't care about actually telling a story anymore or having interesting people.
No, and that really insults the viewer's intelligence at the same time.
It's all surface level.
Yeah, you're paying money to watch us make fun of you.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Question. If you didn't have a 13-year-old daughter, would you have bothered seeing the Marvels?
No.
There you go.
No, not at all. I would not have gone.
Yeah.
It had a double-edged sword to it because I could actually see it for this and comment on it.
Mm.
But I don't recommend it, particularly the really bizarre musical planet.
I heard about this.
Yeah, all they can do is communicate as a musical. And... yeah, that's...
So we've reached we've reached that season of Buffy where
in
the timeline of Marvel where you need a musical episode.
It's sort of like the jumping the shark
concept
and they're well and truly over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if like Jaws could do us a solid...
They left the shark a long time ago. The death of Marvel. I don't know how you all feel about it, but I think it's sad too because I want to love it. Like, I really want to enjoy it. And I don't anymore. So anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of Pop Culture. I've been Scott.
I'm still Jason.
And I'm still Monica.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Pop Culture. You can follow us on Twitter, or X rather, at PCulturePod. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/popculturepod. Thank you guys for listening, and please, if you're feeling generous, leave us a review on wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks, and we will catch you next time. Bye.